welcome to episode 50 of Magic FM. That was totally not me, you know, like bumping into stuff during the intro song.
Okay, that was hilarious.
I'm your host today. Welcome, Mashi. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gabby. Oh, I want to note for the record and for everyone, I dance during the opening of every episode and I haven't knocked anything over.
I have this thing on my keyboard that just comes off like this. It's like a mouse rust. Do you have that too? Yeah. And it attaches to my keyboard like this. But as I was, you know, queuing up the song and doing my little dance, I knocked it over. So welcome. Good day, everybody. Or good night, wherever you're listening. How are you doing, Mash? It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too. I'm doing pretty well. Man, I've been doing this thing where I'm trying to like get a little bit more militant about my eating.
Ooh.
And dieting on the week and then kind of the weekends instead of a cheat
day. It's kind of like a cheat day.
Yeah. And so a few times now I've thought, oh, it's Thursday or it's Friday. It's like, no, but now it's actually Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Kind of my brother-in-law and his fiance they're part of our social distance.
But you're
pod.
Like little bot, like the bubble. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're coming over and I think we're either going to do board games or watch the boys eat some Thai food. So I'm just looking forward to it.
That sounds really good. Yeah. What board games are you planning on playing?
I don't know. So we moved office. I'm voting for Dominion because it's kind of classic. It's easy. Elaine's already played it. And we've all played Machikoro, which is kind of Dominion Light.
Yes, I am familiar with the game. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind
really
of
cute graphics.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Actually, we may do Machikoro because I know we have that. But it's interesting because I get a little bit competitive, but I'm in it for fun. Elaine is super, when she doesn't know the game, she's super non-competitive. Mm-hmm. Like if she feels like she's taking too long, she's like, fine, I'm just going to do this. I'm like, no. Like drink your wine. Like take your time.
Like, no. It's
everyone's
meant to be
waiting.
Fun.
Yeah. And, you know. And then my brother-in-law, Andrew, he is like the ringer. He's like secretly really good at games and he will kind of just quietly end up winning. He's like my father-in-law. Now, granted, my father-in-law is a surgeon. So, you know, he's a podiatrist, but he does a lot of surgery. We played Jenga with him and he's like unstoppable. And he grabs the most ridiculous pieces.
Oh my gosh. Just like as a flex, like, look at me getting this one. No big deal.
he did the thing where like it was towards the bottom of the stack and there's only one piece and you pull it out and the whole thing drops down. He did that. It's just like, I was like, what are you doing? Bull is how you say father in Vietnamese. So I call my father-in-law. Bull. No, don't. And we're doing guys against girls. I'm like, Bull, what are you doing? Don't do that. He's like, man, let's just find out. And he literally pulled out the third from the bottom.
Yeah.
One stick, you know, and the whole thing was bouncing on it and he pulled it out and the whole thing just dropped straight down and was fine. And I was like, what did you just
that
do?
Is,
right
that
now?
Is just like, that is superpowers. That is Jenga above the level I can play.
Yeah. I was like, all right, fine. You do it. I am going to stop questioning the pieces you pull. You just do whatever you want.
That's
now,
really so. Cool.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. How about you? Any big plans for the weekend?
I don't know if we have any plans. I think we're going to play D&D on Friday. And it's been cool because we had a really big discussion about this on Twitter where I play a wizard is the class I play. And my wizard has a spell called Counterspell, which also has a bad reputation in magic sometimes.
Yes, I saw this Twitter conversation. With
yeah, Denise. Did you see yeah. it? It's funny yeah. because basically the wizard I built is really good and all the attributes for this wizard make the counterspells and dispel magic really good. So,
humble brag.
It is actually, I am proud of this because the discussion was that we're probably going to end up banning Counterspell in future campaigns because it's actually just been too good to the point that it's not fun. As an example, Luis, he's our DM. He made an encounter that was specifically made to kind of try to counter the things that we do. So these witches show up and they have a ton of Counterspells too. And so do I. So like basically the entire fight was just like, cast a spell, Counterspell your thing, cast a spell, Counterspell your other thing. And that was the entire fight. And when we got to the end, it was like, yeah, that wasn't fun. That maybe we should just not have the spell in the game.
Now, Gabby, I just want to ask for you, for me, for everyone listening, and for Luis, did you and Luis learn anything about counterspells and games and how unfun it can be?
No.
I think there's some learnings here. I think there's some learning.
Is it weird to realize that as much as I like playing Counterspell and Magic, I ended up building the wizard that's all Counterspell focused in D&D? It's like not really that surprising, right?
That's not surprising. But what happened when you had to play and there was counter spells going back and forth and somehow it wasn't that fun? I'm just asking, did you or Luis learn anything? Wow,
you put me in the corner. It wasn't fun, Mosh. You're right. I'm not going to stop playing them in Magic, though. That's not going to stop me. But
fine.
Yeah, so we're probably getting together for D&D. And then also last weekend, we did something so cute. We made a birthday cake for my dog, Julie, who turned 3 years old.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I did not show my dogs. I don't want to set any bad precedents.
It was really fun. It was mostly just an excuse to bake a cake with Luisa's daughter, the mild Nikadal, Naya. And we just made a cake that actually she was into, but it's all like natural stuff because it's a dog cake, right? So it's like made out of pumpkin puree and like applesauce and doesn't have sugar the way we're used to sugar in pastries. So like we tried it and we were like, yeah, this kind of tastes like a scone. Like this isn't like very exciting. We gave it to Julie and she loved it. Like she was all about it. Yeah.
I mean, in my experience, as soon as whatever it is, as soon as your dog says, oh, this is people food, gone.
She's realizing, she's like, I'm so in this cake. Had frosting on it too, and it was like yogurt plus, what was it, it was a mix of yogurt plus peanut butter. That was the frosting. Can you believe that?
That actually sounds good though.
We frosted it and then we put some little like dog treats on top, and she loved, I mean, we cut her a small slice because she's a small dog, but she loved it. It was so fun to do that thing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I like that. I described Friday night. Saturday we're going apple picking, and I've never done that before.
So cool. So cool.
There's all of these rules. It's so funny. Like, wear a mask. You got to social distance. All this stuff, and then like in big letters, like no drinking. I'm like, is this a big problem with apple picking? It's at 10 a.m.
I am not surprised to hear that, because a lot of the things where you go do like pick your own stuff, even if it's pick your own tree for Christmas, like always comes with like spiked cider or like hot cider.
Oh, that's true.
And I've done pumpkin patch picking, and I remember that like people bring beer and stuff to it. So, I mean, have you seen like how people use those masks, those ridiculous masks that like open up in the middle? So like it's so useless because that no longer works. Like that mask doesn't work. But I've seen people use those.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I don't understand. I'm not a big, like, once the mask is on, I try to keep it on and not disturb it no matter what.
Yeah,
just
not touch it or anything.
Would be way better, right? You could find a way to get a straw,
like a curved straw, like in here
or something. I don't know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Do you guys have any? Normally, one of the things that's exciting for those who don't know about the kind of Luis and Gabby D&D campaigns is it feels like Luis always kind of chefs something up on D&D night. Is there anything in the works for that?
I don't know. I mean, the thing that just happened was that fight where he made a fight that was specifically meant to counter us, and we ran so well not to die. Like we looked afterward at how that encounter could have gone. And we should have probably had like one or two people die in that encounter. We got very lucky. So
no, I meant food for dinner.
Oh, let's see, food. Chef, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe we'll cook.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Hadn't thought about it that far in advance. I was thinking he also prepares cool stuff in our campaign.
Yes. I know that. He's a great DM.
He's a wonderful host. Yeah.
I forgot about this. How's Yaka doing?
Yaka's still good. He's still with us. He still mocks us. It is nice to have basically Luis the character in the campaign. It's been quite funny.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, should we talk about some other magic? We've talked about one Wizards property.
We're gonna talk about some Wizards properties today. But before we do, look at our extremely smooth shout out for the sponsor of the podcast,
AnimeFireball.com. As usual, always.
Always extremely smooth, just like this podcast. We got a cool thing going on right now. Clash is a tournament, if you haven't heard about it, that is hosted on Magic the Gathering Arena, and you can play it on MTG Melee, and you are battling for glory in Channel Fireball Clash. But so basically the way it works, if you haven't heard about it, because there was a Clash weekend, this past weekend was the first Clash weekend, and there's qualifier events all through October 3rd and 4th. October 10th, 11th, October 30th, 31st. And then there's a bunch of qualifiers also on November. And you're playing to eventually make it to the championship weekend. So you have to qualify by playing in the Clash events. How do you qualify to the Clash events? You need to go win 5 rounds total or 3 rounds in a row. This is the best part of Clash. I love
it. Hot streak. The hot streak. Yeah.
I remember seeing someone who went, they tweeted about this. They went 0-6 into 3-0 to qualify, which is amazing.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's great. I love it's my favorite thing. And we wanted to test new things with this tournament format. And it was just one of the ways, I think, you know, if we can find a way to bake that into a lot of tournaments where you get hot and you qualify, because sometimes you're feeling great and you do get lucky and you pick up three in a row, or you get unlucky and you start losing, your record ain't great, but you still have a good deck. I love that idea. Yeah. The hot streak, just three in a row. Pop, pop, pop.
I just think it adds this element of kind of like fun to it, which is nice. Because it's also not like you get that big of an advantage getting a hot streak versus how you normally would qualify. So like you can easily make it if you just get the right number of wins, but also getting the hot streak keeps it alive for the people who were doing really well and then lost a bunch. And it's like, wait a second, I can still get there because I can hot streak.
I can do it.
Multiple people tweeting about it on Twitter and Facebook. I saw both places, and I just thought that was really cool. So that is currently going on. There is a Clash qualifier weekend this weekend. And you are
and playing... all the qualifiers have a $5,000 prize pool. And the main championship has a $30,000 prize pool.
Correct.
It's a $5 entry. I think CFB Pro you get in if you have the year-long subscription. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's $5,000 prize pool for the weekend to qualify you for a $30,000 prize pool. So
yeah, and it's all on Arena and Melee, so it's really easy to just sign up. And if you want to play, that's great. And if it doesn't go well, you can just, you know, move on with your day.
Win three and then move on with your
day. Yeah, exactly. That's the best option. And then you're free for brunch as opposed to like dropped out and then had brunch.
Exactly.
You are playing to play on the championship weekend, which is a field of 64 players. And which day is the championship weekend? Let me look.
I want to say it's the November. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving, I think.
That sounds right to me.
17th, I think.
I think that's right. I'm looking at the page, but I'm just seeing the qualifier weekends. I believe you're right about that. Anyway, you can try to qualify in any of these, the weekends that I named. And if you want to learn more about it, it's on channelfireball.com/clash. There's qualifiers going all through October and November, and you get the chance to play in the championship weekend, which could be pretty sweet.
And I think it's November 21st. The 17th is like a Tuesday. It's definitely not on a Tuesday. I think it's the 21st. So speaking of, one of the you mentioned this, and I just wanted to ask before we moved on and talked about serious stuff. October 31st is a qualifier, which, you know, great playing that, but it's also Halloween. Are you guys doing anything for Halloween? I mean, you got the mild and the coddle, so I feel like you got to do stuff.
So we were talking about it because we were so bummed, and we're really sad thinking that there might be kiddies who come to our house, and we're like, should we offer candy? Should we have like a candy station plus like sanitizer? I think we're ultimately not going to do it just because I just don't think it's a good thing to encourage to go out.
Agreed.
Like knocking at people's doors. But we also want to do something for the mild Nakadal because it's Halloween, you know, and she has an expectation that there's going to go be some trick-or-treating. She's old enough. She's 4 years old. So what we're going to do, I think, is going to do a scavenger hunt here in the house that's going to have little like Halloween candy that she can find and put restrictions of like where it can be and just have her do this kind of like scavenger hunt where she will end up with a bunch of candy at the end. I know it's not really like a Halloween trick-or-treating experience, but it's kind of the best we've got.
I mean, and you got two world-class game designers there.
Yeah.
Just think about the scavenger hunt that Raptor and Luis can put together.
Yeah, I think it would be really sweet, right?
Yeah, and in my experience, you know, my father was great at this, like hyping up the most mundane things, and then all of a sudden it becomes fun. When you're young enough, it's all about the enthusiasm that the adults around you approach.
Absolutely.
With, right?
I think if we're all like very excited to put this scavenger hunt together for her, she will have a blast, you know?
No question. But it is tough. I didn't think about that. Until you just said it, like trick-or-treating is, I mean.
I was so sad because honestly, one of the coolest things, one of the things that made me the happiest moving into this house was the first Halloween where we could host. Mm-hmm. And we went all out. Like we got all the full-size candy bars because I remember because you go trick-or-treating and you love the houses. Exactly. Yes. So we were so excited and we got all the full-size candy bars and we had a little like juice station so they could also take like a little like a Capri Sun sort of deal. And it was amazing. It was so fun, Mashi. I can't explain how happy I was. I'm like, I dressed up so I could open the door and give the candy to the kids. And it was amazing. And I'm so sad that we're going to miss out on that this year.
That sucks. What's your favorite candy?
Kit Kats.
Kit Kats are good. Yeah. Kit Kats are good.
But I especially like them if you like throw them in the freezer and then you get them out and they come out like kind of frozen. They're so good. Oh my God.
What's yours? Have you had the dark chocolate mint Kit Kats?
I don't think so. I've had a lot of Kit Kats because I've had a lot of the Japanese Kit Kats that are all like flavors. But I like the OG the best.
There's a dark chocolate mint one that was here in the US. I don't know if they're still making it. It was like a special edition thing. They're pretty good. I think regular is probably still the best, but they were really, really good. What's Luis's favorite?
I don't know. He doesn't actually eat that much candy.
He doesn't eat candy
or like that much chocolate or like sweets. Like I bake stuff and he'll have like just a bite. I don't get it. I'm not like that.
Same. What about Naya?
I think she just kind of likes all candy because she doesn't get to have that much of it. So she's like, candy, oh my God.
chocolate or candy?
Or ice cream cake. Or I think she's just a fan of sugar because she's a kid.
Yeah. I've always been, for American candy bars, I've been pretty diehard Snickers for a long time.
Snickers is pretty good.
Snickers, just like the caramel, the nougat, the peanut, the chocolate.
I like Milky Ways a lot too. They're like very similar to Snickers too.
Now, Milky Way has a midnight dark, like the dark chocolate Milky Way.
I've had that one.
Yeah, I really like that one. I went through a huge Butterfinger phase, but yeah, it's always been
Butterfinger phase. I love it. Well, I'm sure we'll bring some updates about what we end up doing for Halloween, but I think we'll be planning some sort of scavenger hunt or something like that for her.
That sounds cool. You gotta do the best.
We are committed to doing something. We're just trying to figure out exactly what would be the best Halloween replacement given the circumstances. But anyway, we've strayed very far from the topic. We do have some magic to talk about today. It's actually an update from some of the stuff that happened last week. It's a big update. This has turned into a big topic. In last week's episode, we talked about The Walking Dead Secret Lair. And funnily enough, the day that we recorded the podcast, just a couple hours later, there was like a kind of big explosion in the community because of The Walking Dead stuff. So just to give a summary to those who maybe are less familiar or maybe haven't followed this controversy as closely, the Secret Lair of Walking Dead controversy is the fact that initially when we were introduced to Secret Lairs, we saw them as a way for Wizards to reprint cards with cool alternative art. And it was a cool collector's, like a collector's item. If you wanted to get the alternate art or like these cool foils, etc., you could get them through Secret Lair. However, last week there was an announcement for a new Secret Lair that was a Walking Dead Secret Lair, and these cards are unique. They don't exist anywhere else in Magic. They're all the Walking Dead branded. So like you see all the main characters and stuff. And people have been pretty upset about this. Because of mostly card availability, the fact that this is a premium product that doesn't get shipped everywhere in the world, you don't always have access to it. But if you're playing Magic and you want these cards, like especially if you're playing Commander or something like that, which is where a lot of these cards would end up, you just can't, there's like no replacement for them. If you want to hear like the initial debate, I would recommend our last episode, episode 49, where we kind of went in depth about like why people are mad on both sides. But there's been a lot of updates on this since then. So today we want to talk about like the updates that have happened since that episode that we recorded last Thursday. So the stream that happened last Thursday, Wizards seemed to kind of...
And was this the Wizards like week? They do a weekly stream. Right?
They have a couple of weekly streams that they do, and this one was the one where they wanted to kind of address some of the Secret Lair stuff because they knew that people were mad, and it did not go over well. Let me just tell you.
Do you think just right off the bat, do you think that was a good idea, or do you think it's like let the dog? I won't say sleeping dogs, but I think they were kind of on their way to sleep. Like they were slowly being lulled into sleep. And this is like, should they have, you know, poked, I'll mix metaphors here. Should they have poked the bear here?
I think it would have been fine for them to do it had they not said some of the things that they said in that stream. Really incensed things. Like it stoked the fire big time because there was a kind of a big revelation, which was Wizards saying, hey, we don't know why people thought that we wouldn't print unique cards in these secret lairs. Why did people just assume that? And it was just like, boom, like everything just exploded from that. What do you think about that
part? I just think, so there's a lot going on here, and there's different ways you read into messaging always, right? And what I really wish it hadn't been phrased that way. And I actually wish this is the kind of dialogue you don't want to have, which is where you go, well, what do you mean? I never said that. Why do you think that? And it's like I'm pushing it back on top of you. And one, it doesn't really matter like why people feel that way. Like sometimes it's just important to acknowledge that people feel that way. And you don't need, it's like this isn't about blaming you, especially if you're a company, because that's just, it's not going to work to blame shift there. In the attempt to say like, why do you feel this way, is basically saying, hey, it's your fault. You think this, prove to me why you think this and why you think that's okay. It's like, that's just totally irrelevant. Yeah. And I think approaching it just by saying, hey, we understand that everyone feels this way. That's not our intention. And just by the way, that's not something we're going to do. And I think that's still painful. That's still like people are not going to be happy about it. But when you start saying something like, well, I don't know why you feel that way. Show me the receipts. Like, why do you feel that way?
Yes,
why do you believe that? That's just a terrible feeling.
It low-key feels a little bit like gaslighting, which is, I think, why people were so mad. Because it's like, well, if everybody was under that impression, can you maybe consider that is the message that you did portray to people? Like, when now you're trying to back it up and be like, I don't know why people assumed that we weren't going to do this. It's like, because that's just not how this product was introduced to us. And, you know, we've talked about therapy here on this podcast and about how it's great. And one of the things that you learned in therapy, or I learned in therapy, like specifically, is people often like find ways to justify their emotions as opposed to just like feeling the feelings they feel and just acknowledging the fact that feeling is felt. And that's a little bit of what's happening here. It's like, it seems like there's a lot of justifications, like, where did we say that we weren't going to do this thing? And it's like, no, people felt like this was a way to reprint cards and give alternative versions to cards that already exist, not a vehicle to directly print WotC cards to consumers. And now you're telling me that we're very wrong for having assumed that, when a lot of people assume that. And so
a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I did. I did. I mean, so that, I'm not pointing the finger.
Part of the reason that people are mad. This is it, right? This is a big part of it. So that did not go over well. They had to shut down comments. The stream,
oof.
Yeah, like it got uploaded and like the comments are turned down, like are turned out, like off on YouTube. Yeah. Because the other thing that they implied is that there's a lot more of these coming.
And I think that's very separate. And I think that's okay, because the train has probably already left the station on that. They've probably signed deals and have licenses or other things where it's not like they've made the decision in the wake of everything with The Walking Dead that they're going to keep doing this. That decision was probably already made.
Right.
And so, you know, you can't unring the bell there. You got to keep going. And so I don't give anyone any fault for that. They picked a direction and they're going down that road. Now, maybe a year from now, they could maybe change some of those decisions. And we've talked about this, and we'll get into this later, where maybe it is a good business decision. People are upset, but maybe it actually is a good business decision and it's raising revenue. And that's a consideration that as a community, we don't really see. But before we get to that, you said something super important. And I just want to underscore, you said acknowledging how other people feel. One is acknowledging how you feel. I think that's important. And then we try to rationalize why we feel things a certain way. And I think that's human. And I think that's part of your personal journey. Like, why do I feel this way? And then how important a question is that to me to ask? Okay. But then what happens in a situation where it's like, well, why do you feel this way? Why do you think this? I never did that. Now I'm trying to rationalize how you feel. And that's all kinds of not okay.
Yeah.
Like you can't do that. And that's a struggle for me. I'm in therapy too. And that's a real struggle where for me, a light bulb goes off where it's like, dude, Mosh, you have to let people feel the way they feel. You can't rationalize feeling away. You have to acknowledge and say, you know, hey, I understand you feel the way you feel, and that's okay. Can we talk about maybe maybe not now, but can we talk about why you feel that way? Not saying you're wrong to feel that way, not saying that feeling is wrong, but let's talk about why you feel that way. And like, you know, for me, I'll talk about myself. For instance, you know, I grew up, I was overweight. And so sometimes when I'm eating poorly, even though my body hasn't changed, I'm like, man, I'm getting fat. And Elaine's like, no, you're not. You look the same. I'm like, no, I'm getting fat. She's like, no, baby, you feel fat. That's okay. Let's talk about why you feel that way. But you're not actually getting fatter, right? And that's like a very real example, mm-hmm. you know, of like, you feel a certain way. That's okay. Now, that's not right or wrong why you feel that way. Let's talk about why you feel that way. And that's a very different discussion than just saying, well, why, you know, I'm going to rationalize what you did here. And so I think it's very important. Obviously this touched something on me. I think it's very important we acknowledge
I'm really happy you mentioned that example, because I just, when I saw this, that's how it spoke to me. It was the exact same way of like, I'm just going to try to explain your feelings to you and why you're wrong about it. And I don't envy the position of the people at Wizards who had to do the stream. It was a really unenviable position to be in.
Yes.
But I also feel like that stream just went over really poorly, and it just stoked the flames on a on an issue that wasn't even really dying out that much. People were continuing to be mad, and it just made things worse.
You just threw gasoline right on the fire.
So then Nisa Meow Meow unveiled another secret lair card, which was also a surprise, because everybody thought we'd seen everything that we had to see with The Walking Dead. She unveiled a card called Lucille. And if you watch The Walking Dead, you know Lucille is Negan's weapon. It is this baseball bat that is covered in like chicken wire, basically. And this made people even more mad, because Lucille's actually a pretty playable card. Let me read you the card. It's a legendary artifact weapon. Equipped creature, it costs 2 mana.
Equipment.
It's an equipment, yes.
You said weapon, so I was like, yeah, it's an equipment.
Oh, totally. My bad. It costs 2 mana. Equipped creature gets +2/+0 and has menace. And then a second line of text. Whenever equipped creature attacks, defending player sacrifices a creature. If they do, create a walker token, and equipping costs 4. So the equip cost is the most expensive part of it. But to block a creature that has Lucille, you need 3 creatures, because one of them is going to die and 2 of them need to block. And that assumes that there's no combat tricks or anything else. Plus, if you're playing commander or anything like that, there's a ton of ways to cheat on your equip cost, because there's a lot of creatures that like equip for free or like reduce the cost of equipping. So this cost of 4 on Lucille is not actually that meaningful. It means it's just a great legendary artifact equipment that's pretty cheap and is really difficult to deal with.
I mean, in the swing is you also get a 2/2 walker token, right?
Yes.
Like that's a huge swing. Like you lose a creature, your opponent loses a creature. They now may or may not be able to block the creature you're attacking with, and they have a 2/2 on the back end to block or do whatever they want with it. So
yeah, it's not even a creature either. So like they kill the creature that you blocked with, and it's like, okay, I guess I'll re-equip Lucille.
Do you know what the name of this, just this is a bit of a digression, do you know what the name of this equipment is an homage to?
No.
B.B. King, the blues artist. That's the name of his guitar.
Lucille. Oh, that's really cool. That's a much better Lucille.
It's much better. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? But yeah, B.B. King's guitar is named Lucille.
That's cool. And
he very much anthropomorphizes her. And the thing about guitars that I love, and this is just my own infatuation with guitar solos, is sometimes they kind of do feel like they're talking to you.
Yeah.
So I've always loved that. But anyway.
I much prefer that Lucille, by the way. The Lucille in The Walking Dead is no bueno.
No, bloody barbed wire.
Really bloody barbed wire baseball bat. Yep.
Yeah.
So then this kind of hinted at the fact that there's just a lot more stuff coming, whether it be The Walking Dead or other properties. People once again got mad about it. And ultimately, this response kind of led to Mark Rosewater, the lead designer for Magic the Gathering, to kind of acknowledge all of this on Twitter, because there's just been so many people trying to express why this is frustrating. And then Wizards' reaction initially made things worse. Like it made people feel like, hey, you're not listening to us. In fact, it kind of feels like you're mocking us in some way. So Mark had this pretty, I thought, good response. He said, I wrote a write-up to... Oh, sorry. It says, but it does mean that I have a unique insight into what's upsetting you all. I wrote a write-up to share with my bosses to explain what I've learned, and I want to thank you for feeling comfortable enough to share with me your issues. I'm so sorry that many of you are hurting right now. I'll stop acting like designer Mark on this topic. It's just causing more pain, and that's the last thing I want.
Yep. And this is exactly what we're talking about. I'm so sorry many of you are hurting right now. Just an acknowledgement that you're hurting, not trying to talk you out of it, not trying to say you're wrong, not trying to gotcha. Like, why are you hurting right now? I don't understand it. Just, hey, let me just acknowledge this. I am sorry that you are hurting right now. I feel that, you know? And I think that's an important thing here. And then just trying to even talk about his own view, right? And look, being defensive is part of human nature, right? And there are many stakeholders in Wizards of the Coast in terms of R&D, in terms of marketing, in terms of everything that went into probably negotiating this license and producing this secret lair. And we all have the right to feel good about the work we've done. You know what I mean? Like, these aren't decision makers. They have a project. Hey, we have this Walking Dead stuff we need to design. Okay, well, you know, R&D shouldn't sit there and go, no, I disagree with this product. I'm not going to do the job. No, that's not right. They've got stuff to do. And
right.
So I just think when he said, like, I'll stop thinking like designer Mark on this topic, I understand that in the sense that, and I've said this many times in this podcast, where it's like, let me literally and figuratively put my Channel Fireball hat on and think about it as a retailer. Let me try to think about it as an influencer. Let me think about it as a player, whatever it is. We all have different ways to interact with this game. And sometimes we get defensive, right? Sometimes we do that. And I think that's okay. I really think that's part of being human. We want to get past it. You don't want to approach things that way. And you want to find a way to not have that be your first reaction. But I certainly don't fault people for feeling that way, because I do that too. I think everybody does. And I think that's what was nice about his statement.
You pointed out something that really resonated with me. And it's the fact that the people whose job it was to make the Walking Dead secret lair, can you imagine how they feel? Because they were approached one day and they were told, hey, we're doing secret layers and now we're doing it with cool IPs. Look, we're doing The Walking Dead. Learn some about the show and design some magic cards that work for these characters. And you can tell, I mean, everything controversial about The Walking Dead aside, if you take a look at the actual characters, their mechanics match their character if you watch the show.
Like, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
They made them do things that they would do in the show. So like the card is designed like, you know how you put your little like game designer hat on and you go, how would Mega Man be if you would turn him into a magic card? And so you start thinking like, well, he would be these colors and he would have these abilities and stuff like that. And they definitely 100% did that with the Walking Dead characters and like even Lucille too. And then it comes out and everyone hates it and no one wants it and people are rioting and
that's gonna hurt.
You know, it hurts. Can you imagine? I would be so disappointed, especially if totally. I knew that I'd work on other ones that are coming also that I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I was excited about this other thing that we did also, but are people gonna hate it? So I also feel for the people who worked on this. Like, this was a feel bad for just basically everyone involved.
And I'll say this, having worked with many, many employees and past, present, and at different levels of the organization, every person I've worked with, met with, talked to at Wizards of the Coast, legitimately, and I know people are gonna be like, really? Then why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? They love Magic. Like, working in that company, you must have a passion for Magic the Gathering. They are Magic players. Like, I remember Elaine Chase came to a GP, and she's a senior vice president in that company. Okay, she's got a lot. She's got a lot of pull. She's runs a lot of stuff, and She's been to Pro Tours, and every GP I've ever seen her at, she's like, I'm just here if you need me, I'm going to go draft. And that's what she does all day. She just goes and drafts and drafts.
Yeah, she used to be a Magic judge, right? That's how she
She was an L3 judge. And so like, that's what I'm talking about though. Like from the top down, everybody I know that I've worked with, I haven't really worked with Chris Cox, so I can't speak to him directly, but I do know the one GP he went to, we were in London and he showed up and they had their staff there and he's like, yeah, we're just looking for a place to draft. Like, he did one loop around the GP and then was like, hey, do you mind if we just take over one of these tables and draft and stuff? And like, this is just to say, like, people who work there, they're trying to do the best things for the game. There's a profit motive. We'll talk about that. But they love the game. And so I you're right. I think that they hear this kind of stuff and it probably does hurt. And I mean, if I were them, it would hurt me too.
I think that's part of the reason they had that reaction, which I see as a very human reaction, and a lot of people were just like, burn Wizards at the stake, you know? I just feel like it's worth acknowledging that, hey, the people who are involved, who worked on this project, are probably hurting too. But you brought out something interesting, and it's, revenue, right? So that is one of the other things we wanted to talk about for today, because this conversation has been like the Walking Dead conversation, and like these, some of these decisions that have been happening lately have brought up a question, and it's, hey, do you all remember the annual report for Hasbro in 2019? Do you all remember some of the things that it said? Some of the things that the annual report mentioned were really wanting to increase annual revenue for Magic the Gathering. And if you look at it from that perspective, it starts feeling like maybe some of these decisions that have been happening and the things that people aren't cool with were made with that intention. Those decisions were made for that purpose. So let me read a thing that the annual report from Hasbro's 2019 annual report said about Magic, or specifically like Wizards of the Coast. Last year, we set a target to double the revenues of Wizards of the Coast brands over the coming five-year period, and we're well on the path to accomplishing this mission. This requires an annual revenue growth rate for Wizards of 15%, which is something, 1-5, right? Which is something Magic has achieved in 2019, and the report also states, Magic the Gathering revenues increased more than 30% in the year behind a double-digit growth in tabletop revenues and a strong first year for Magic the Gathering Arena. So it very much feels like what we're seeing here are decisions that may have happened to try to meet those goals.
Yeah. And again, this is coming from Hasbro, going to Wizards of the Coast saying, these are your goals. You will double revenue in 5 years. And when you need to go from $1 to $2, you're still doubling revenue, but you can achieve that. When we start getting into seven figures, eight figures, and you need to double that over 5 years, that is a Herculean task. You need to pull a lot of levers to get there. So, you know, this is just what we're talking about, where it's like, sometimes you've got to do your job, you know, and we're aiming all our arrows at people who are trying to do their job and maybe are not real decision makers in what they're doing.
Yeah, and when you start thinking about, like, think about the recent products that have come out, and some of them are exciting, some of them are not, you know, like, not every product has to fit every consumer out there, but collector's boosters, set boosters, secret lairs, the master sets, like, all the commander products that recently came out, when you start looking at all that, it starts kind of fitting, right? That all these products that have launched. And we have talked about kind of this burnout of like, oh my God, there's so many new products, products coming out. And like, I can't even keep track of all the products that are coming out. That was just not a thing we ever saw with Magic in the last 5 years. But in the last two, it's been like, you get a set booster, non-stop. You get a secret lair, you get this like super premium thing, you get this other thing. And they're all really expensive products.
I mean, if Commander Legends hadn't been pushed back, I think we'd be previewing them already.
I can't imagine that.
It just finished we just got through Zendikar Rising, and like, it's like you get a 1 or 2 week break and then the next preview start. And it's just like, whoa, I am getting a little bit burnt here.
Yeah, it does feel like, I think whenever a new set comes out for Magic, people are like so ready and excited for it. Like, because you give it some breathing room, right? Mm-hmm. You let the set come out. People have a chance to play it in standard. People get to see how it affects older formats. People get to do drafts as much as they want. And then by the time you're like, okay, I feel like I've done everything I wanted
to
do.
I'm ready to move on.
A new set comes out. And then I feel like that timing works really well. But now when you start peppering in all the other sets that are coming in between, the master set, the jump starts, the commander products, the set boosters, the secret layers, blah, blah, blah. It just feels like you're marketing so much stuff to me. I don't even keep track of it anymore.
And I only have so many dollars to spend.
Right.
There's only so many dollary dues in the bank account. And I can't buy everything as much as I may like to. I can't. I've got to make my decisions. And you start to cut into your own, right, your own profits and your own consumption. Because like, nope. Like, you know, I think it's perfectly reasonable to say Zendikar Rising's out. That's great. And the piggy bank's closed until call time. And oh, by the way, I still have holiday shopping to do and all kinds of other stuff going on. So, you know, I just think there's different things that Wizards needs to be aware of with us, with the community, with the customer base.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's an interesting thing. I've seen a lot of chatter and conversation about, hey, how do these old goals that we've seen are going to affect Magic? Also, what you mentioned of, it's hard to, like, Magic's an old game, right? It's like 25 years old. it's really hard to suddenly be like, okay, we're going to set these goals and we're just going to really ramp up the revenue on a game that's been established and it's very strong and has existed for a really long time. But just trying to crank it up that much, I feel like we're seeing a little bit of that blowback.
So there was also a comment from Jesper Mirforce. And were you familiar with Jesper at all before this?
So now I know who he is because of the artwork you've told me he's done.
Right.
But I was not familiar before.
So for those who don't know Jesper, he is an old art director for Magic. Old school back in the day. And he's done a bunch of classic art. Armageddon. All this is original because this is back in the day. Original art, Geddon, Atog, Bad Moon, Bayou. Cop Black. I'm trying to think some really good ones. I love Elves of Deep Shadow, very gothic.
Oh, that's him too.
Goth girl.
These are some really iconic cards.
Yeah. Gazban Ogre, Goblin King, Islandfish Hakones. And then, I think he did a few more duels. Yeah. Scrubland, Scath Zombies, and Tropical Island, Tundra. So a lot of really, really old school stuff. And he had this. And by the way, this feels timely now. This was posted September 2nd. 2018. Okay, so this wasn't
in response to anything. This was just kind of surfaced up based on the Secret Lair conversations.
So keep that in mind. Jesper is not addressing this issue today. Back in the old days at Wizards of the Coast, we used to joke about how cravenly greedy it would be to release cards that you could only get with a high purchase price, like only available in a booster box, etc. We often said that if we did that, it was because we were out of ideas and the grasping suits had totally taken over. Then we would laugh because we would never allow that to happen. We called them chase cards, and we knew that their single purpose was to squeeze even more money out of obsessed players. Even back then, we understood 100% that it was in effect taking advantage of people with certain mental disorders and that it was the wrong thing to do. He has a little bit more, and then he says, that is why we never did it, though it was discussed. What do you think of Jesper's take here?
It's really interesting because this is clearly conversations that happen behind closed doors, kind of being put on blast. And it's really interesting that this was not made in response to Secret Lair. This was just a post that was made in 2018. I don't know if I agree with the single purpose was to squeeze even more money out of obsessed players, but I generally agree with this notion of, we're really towing the line of what is okay to do when we're figuring out how to market certain cards. Because they are chase cards, and that is 100% what Secret Lair is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think also for context here, I think Jesper was at WotC in we're talking early, like 99 or something, like so very early days.
Forever and ago, yeah.
The reason I bring that up is there is a difference, and I'm sure you know way more about this having studied this and having a master's and everything. There's a difference in the life cycle of a company depending on where it's at. And when we're talking year two, year three of Wizards of the Coast, is this game going to be around? I think there's a very, very important discussion to be had about, should we be printing these chase cards? Because that's really important. It's going to raise revenue, and we're 2 years old and we don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. We're well past that. In 2020. Well past it. The life cycle of Wizards of the Coast, the company, is so far beyond where it was in the late 90s. So that's one thing. And that's when this conversation, I suspect, I don't know what's happening. But part and parcel with that is the audience has grown. And so where I do think, I go back and forth here about the kind of offerings here, like how predatory this is. Is this okay? I know a lot of people my age play Magic. A lot of people who grew up with it and are now in their 30s or early 40s or wherever they're at. And that comes with having more disposable income. And so I think there's a little bit less of that. I do think you can offer premium products that are targeted at a different player base with maybe more disposable income. And that's where I say things like, if these were Godzilla versions of cards that appeared in Zendikar Rising, zero problem. I think it's okay to have premium products, premium versions of products that are also available in a non-premium way that's more accessible to everyone. That I think is okay. Where I start to get worried is when one of the real beauties of Magic has always been, despite misconceptions, it's not a pay-to-win game. It's just not. If you start gating very high power cards. And Lucille's good. We just talked about her, right? Behind paywalls, it starts to, we start to lose that. And that's not something I don't, that's not something Wizards wants to see for the game. Like, it'd be one thing if these cards were crazy, used an IP, and we're just like, this is stone unplayable. Like, when are you ever going to use this card? Come on, everyone. But the fact that it's actually playable and legal in things like Legacy, although I don't know how much creature combat's important in Legacy, I just don't play it enough to know. That is concerning. And but I'm a little bit, I don't know. I go back and forth. You know, I always want people to have agency over like making their own decisions about how they're spending their money and like, let's treat our audience. I mean, it's 13 plus, so not the 13-year-olds, but the plus. Let's treat them like they're big boys, big girls, big persons, and can make their own decisions about how, you know, he, she, or they want to spend their money.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you completely. To give a simpler example, it's a little bit, because I've gone into this discussion. I've definitely gone into discussion on my stream, like stop playing my game so that we would talk about it, where we were chatting about the accessibility of Magic. And some people, because somebody came into my chat to say like, oh, dirty pay to win game. But it is clearly just a troll. Like, it doesn't matter. They just had this opinion. But we started talking about it. We went into a discussion. And the place where we landed was that Magic is a pay to compete game. If you want to be as competitive as possible, if you want to have the latest meta deck, if you want to have like all the wild cards to craft any deck you want or buy any card you want for a tournament, you're going to have to pay some amount of money. Like, there are costs to that. But if you don't care about competing or all you want to do is play Pauper or play with your friends or Cube or anything like that, it's completely accessible to just whatever cards you want. Like a deck builder's toolkit, it's a great example, right? There's nothing really valuable in there, but everything is 100% fun. So that is one of the things that makes Magic special. It's true. Like, yes, you do have to play money in order to play this game. It's just part of it. But you will always be able to play it. Like, if you don't want to compete, you just don't have to. It's not gated to you that way. And a simpler example would be something like Fall Guys, right? Really super popular game. You buy skins. If you want to put skins on your character, you can give them money and you support the company. But what if you started having to pay for boosts? Yeah. What if you had to spend money and if you use one boost, your character goes slightly faster? Like, how quickly would that game just burn if they did that? People would hate it so much.
I think I really, you know what's funny, Gabby, is I really think you hit it out of the park here, where you've said exactly what I was trying to say so much better. Because alternate art in different versions, those are just skins.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I think it's, I just have zero problem. You can charge a lot of money for skins. I just don't think that's relevant. Like, that's not predatory. That's not, I think that.
People are adults and they get to choose to buy skins if they want, right?
Right. And I think so different people will disagree with that, right? Some people, I think, probably do think that kind of stuff's predatory. I don't. I think
I don't either.
You have a base version. You can pay a premium amount for a skin. But that's the problem with this, right? It's like, these aren't skins. These are the actual cards. But I love thinking of it like that. Like, these are just alternate art is just a skin that you put on your Magic cards. I will say this, because I am a Magic boomer. Pay to compete, but it astounds me. Again, I grew up a while ago playing this card and having to buy the cards and playing this game and having to buy cards and all that stuff. It's pay to compete, but if you're playing on Arena, it is so much cheaper than historically.
It really is.
Magic. And to the point where, like, I am still dumbfounded that I can put money and get gems. And I'm like, wait, how many drafts is this? Wait a minute. I get to keep all of these cards? Oh my gosh. I have almost everything I need for this deck because I've been drafting so much. And I haven't, like, I don't even buy cards. I rarely craft now because I love drafting. And even a, like, average at best drafter like myself can still draft enough to get almost all the cards they need, and that just blows my mind because that is not possible in regular
not paper even close. Magic.
Yeah, and so I am 100% with you. It is pay to compete, but the barriers on Arena specifically, because I don't think it's quite like this on Moto unless the ecosystem's changed quite a bit, are much lower than they've been historically.
Yeah, Moto cards still, a lot of them still hold their value. Like, there's just limited print runs of some stuff, so it is hard to sometimes get a hold of certain cards on Magic Online. But yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, just to kind of put a bow on this whole conversation, it seems like we've kind of settled on this skin thing, right? That yeah. I think a lot of the places where we feel like it's completely okay to charge pretty much as you want on these premium products because people get to make their decisions on doing it. But once you gate it and it becomes that that's the only version available, I think that's the people, that's what people really take an issue with. It's the thing I take an issue with and truly makes me sad because I've just seen so many people. This whole Walking Dead thing has just caused so much anguish to so many people. And yeah. it could have been such a cool thing. And instead, it's this thing that is really reflects poorly on Wizards of the Coast. People are clearly upset about it. We didn't even really get...
It reflects poorly on us as a community.
Yes. I mean, honestly, it's like everyone loses here, right? Yeah, yes. Almost nothing good comes out of this. We didn't even really get into what happened with Commander, but at some point people were asking them to ban in Commander. The Commander community decided that they didn't want to ban them. It was like a whole thing. It just makes me... Yeah, we didn't talk about that, but it was all just a mess. And I don't know.
I mean, you talk about reflecting poorly on us, like then there was this variant Commander that existed for like 24 hours until it got yes. so toxic they had to like nuke it. And it's like, we have to do better as a community.
Yeah.
Like, it was like this weird microcosm of like a micro universe of how terrible things can get on an accelerated timeline. I will say this, like we have to find a way, if this is going to keep happening, we have to find a way as a community to accept it mm-hmm. and deal with it in a better light. Like if this is the reality, if this isn't going to stop, okay. I'm not saying be happy with it. I'm just saying like, let's just find a better way. I don't know what that is. I wish I had a suggestion, but we need to find a better way to interact with this. What a terrible thing for all of us if this is going to happen every time something like this drops. I'm open to suggestions. Tweet us. Let us know like how we can be more constructive about it. By the way, Wizards gets it. I think they have heard loud and clear.
I think they've heard it loud and clear now. I think the point came across.
So like getting more angry and being more toxic and blowing up other influencers and other people, you're not moving the chains anymore. You're screaming and everyone's already heard what you're screaming. So let's find a different way. Let's find something different. Let's channel that into a different direction because that's important because doing something is always important. Feeling that is important, but let's find a way that we're not tearing each other apart, tearing each other down. Or Wizards, but I don't want to tear them down. I mean, like, come on. They could stop making magic. That would be a terrible thing.
Yes,
for all
yeah. Can you imagine how mad people would be if they stopped making magic? That would be a different yeah. thing.
You think this is bad? You know, we will turn this car around. We will turn this car around.
Oh man, so, that was right, really before, good.
I know we were going to talk about the grand finals, but I think we got to kind of preempt that, Gabby, because we made a promise that we were going to talk about our 1 year.
We did. I realized I forgot to talk about it in the intro because we had already been just meandering with a bunch of conversations.
We were off to the races.
Yeah, we really were. But yes, we have a big announcement. But we need like a drum roll. Like
we do. Yeah, we need a sound effect.
There you go. We're going to become sound effect artists after this.
Foley artists.
Foley?
Foley, I think so. Yeah. Yeah. You know who used to do that?
Who?
Riley Knight.
No way, really?
Yeah, he that was his job. Yeah.
No way, that's so cool. Amazing. Yeah. So cool. Anyway, totally derailed. So many of you know, this is episode 50, and 52 is a magical number. It means an entire year of doing the podcast, and we're very excited about it. So
absolutely.
We committed last week that we would announce what we were going to do to celebrate, and we did. We actually did plan something. So we're going to do two things. The first one's going to be an exciting giveaway, and the details on the giveaway are going to come at a later, like at probably next week or the week after. I guess we'll decide when we want to run that giveaway. And that's a Perfect. Giveaway that anybody who listens to this podcast is going to be able to enter, and we want to do something cool for it, so we're excited for that. But then we also thought we could do something else because, you know, we often talk about the other podcasts here, and we've had a lot of guests from other CFB podcasts, and we've talked a lot about Among Us. So we thought that what we could do is organize an Among Us game of people of like CFB podcast hosts and get everybody playing. And that's a stream that people are going to be able to watch, and we're going to, you know, get as many people playing the game that to stream it also. So that's also going to be another way that we're going to celebrate this. We're going to get a bunch of CFB podcast hosts together and have the fight to see who's the best person at doing space chores.
This is awesome. And I have not played yet. So I know Luis did like an Among Us primer on Channel Fireball. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, I think
you're going to have to read it.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to study it and read it. And I'm super excited because I keep saying, like, I gotta get into this. I gotta get into this, and I just haven't done it. But this is the kind of thing that's gonna catapult me in. So I'm super stoked because I've seen it a few times on stream, and it's very entertaining to watch. And I actually have watched it thinking, is this as fun to play as it is to watch? Because it is very fun to watch.
It's funny. I think Among Us is one of the most watchable games, and that contributes to its popularity. I enjoy watching that game as much as I enjoy streaming it, and I enjoy streaming that game a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy because one, it's fun when you don't know, like on all the verticals, it's fun when you don't know who the imposter is. You're like, oh my gosh, who is it? Who is it? Yeah. And like you're in the chat, like, oh my gosh, Gabby, like Dennis is super sus. It's totally got to be him. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then it's fun when you're the imposter, and it's like, oh, are they going to catch you or not? We're just
how am I going to frame someone for this kill?
And then it's fun when you're watching someone and they get killed. So now you know who the imposter is, and you're listening to all the conversations. And you're like, no, they just killed Gooby. It's Louise. It's Louise. You know.
And you hear them, and then you hear people be like, oh, I spent a bunch of time with this person. They can't be the imposter. You're like, they're the imposter.
Yeah. So no matter where that person is, no matter who you're watching and what they're doing in the Among Us at that time, it's still entertaining. There's like across all verticals and everything, it's great. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I think we have really, really good engaging, you know, co-Channel Fireball podcasters. Yeah. So I think it'll be
really fun. And we've played Among Us with some of the other CFB podcasters before. We just hadn't done like a CFB podcaster Among Us event. And yeah, we felt that maybe this 1 year celebration was a pretty good excuse to get that tournament, not tournament, that event together.
That just, so, yeah, that hang
yeah.
Put together. So I'm looking forward to it. One other minor piece of housekeeping. Gabby, have you heard back from those Scry Babies? I mean, we laid out a challenge.
They are scared, man.
I know, man. I think we were pretty clear. We called them out, and it has been, and I'm not joking, crickets. Crickets.
They're scared, Mashi.
I guess they don't feel like they can hang. I guess not. I mean, wow. I guess we could take the W and move on, but it's just like, I don't know. Dennis, Riley, I know you've got my info. I mean, Dennis, I literally meet with Dennis
every day.
I have after we're recording this podcast, I'm going into a meeting and then another meeting and another meeting after that, and all three of them, Dennis is there. Haven't heard a thing about this. Haven't heard a thing. So
I think they're scared, Mashi. We want to throw down, but I guess maybe the Little League Showdown.
I guess so. I guess we didn't realize how much clout we had. They're too afraid. They're running scared. Yeah.
They know our extensive magic prowess, so they I think that's what's going on, Mashi.
Yes, they know our
weak,
maybe
weak.
Yours. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that does it for this week's Magic FM. Thank you so much for hanging with us. It's been, you know, man, I really hope we can get off this Walking Dead stuff because it's the only thing going through our news cycle. To the point where we have this huge tournament this weekend. We didn't even touch on.
Yeah, I mean, there's like basically the 2 second summary, because this is one of the things we wanted to talk about. I think we ended up talking a lot about The Walking Dead, which will be nice because we have said our piece on it. You know, I think anything else that happens with The Walking Dead, unless it's another different IP that comes out, we've basically said our part. But the grand finals are going on this weekend, and it's going to be standard and historic, and Luis is competing in it. So I know we're rooting for Luis. We have a bunch of other friends who are playing in it as well. And it's going to be interesting to see what people register for this deck because because Mosh and I, we've talked about the bans. We weren't really on board with the bans. We didn't think they were sufficient, but we will kind of get to see what happens this weekend. Like, this is kind of the same feeling as when a pro tour happens and a new meta comes out and you're like, hey, maybe the best players in the world, because this is the equivalent of Worlds-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll break it. Maybe they'll figure out something that isn't just Omnath, but you know,
it would be amazing if they did.
Mm-hmm. And at Clash Weekend, we saw a lot of Omnath, so I guess we'll see what happens at this grand finals. We'll probably do a breakdown of what this tournament was like next week. Yeah,
Dimir Rogues did win that Clash.
Yeah, so, that's true.
You know, there was a lot of Omnath. It didn't win. God, you know what just popped into my head quickly before we went off is, what if there's a secret lair like Harry Potter in the works?
No,
I think that is one, if they had that IP lineup, they would actually pull. I think they would have to say like, no,
I can't imagine. how that would play out if it happened.
Yeah, that, I think that is actually the worst case scenario.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's possible. I mean,
actually, it'd be very expensive to get that IP. So yeah, I don't think it's possible either.
I mean, I don't know. It feels like Harry Potter IP isn't a lot of things these days. So it might not be that.
All right. Well, fingers crossed we don't go down that path. Next week, hopefully we'll have, I mean, actually you've inspired me. I'm hopeful now that that the best players in the world are going to find a way to break it. And we're not going to be all Omnath all the time. But let's go. I'm rooting for Luis number one, and I'm rooting for not Omnath number two.
Yeah, so, come on. That's good, Rudy. Yeah.
All right. You can find us on Twitter at Magic FM Podcast. If you're listening to the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify or whatever, hit the subscribe button. We appreciate it. Check out the video version. It's on channelfireball.com. You can find us on YouTube. We're very emotive people, so I think it's well worth checking out if you have the ability to do that. I am Moshi Scanlon, the guy on the left, at Moshi Scanlon across social media platforms. She's Gabby Spartz at Gabby Spartz. You can find her streaming at twitch.tv/Gabby Spartz or on social media at Gabby Spartz. And we are out of time. Until next week, thank you so much for hanging. Be wonderful to yourselves. Be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye.